Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Macmillan Crews podcast. My name is Claire Phillips. I'm Macmillan Crews project manager, and today I'm going to be discussing preparing for a bereavement. Today I'm going to be joined by Amanda Mellon, who is specialist social worker in palliative care for Macmillan, and she's been working in the Antrim unit for a number of years. So I'd like to welcome Amanda to the session today, and she's going to give us some hints and tips about how to manage through coping with a bereavement. Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks very much, Claire. Thank you so much for the opportunity to talk with you today. So yes, I'm Amanda Mellon, and I'm Macmillan Specialist Social Worker. I'm based in the Northern Trust area, so I work in the Macmillan unit, which is our hospice for people with complex palliative care needs. Palliative care is basically a condition which is advanced life-limiting condition. It can be any condition at all, but it's often associated with cancer, but not exclusively. So I've been working there for the last about 10 years and would have colleagues all over Northern Ireland working in different hospices, in different trust areas, and also in the community. So my job in the Macmillan unit is to support people and their families and their friends with whatever is important to them, whether it be now, at the time, or indeed in the future.
Okay, that's great, Amanda. Thanks very much for telling us a wee bit about your role and how you're going to be able to inform us as to useful things that may be able to support people living in the community dealing with the build-up to a bereavement or the diagnosis of somebody with a life-limiting condition. The first question I just wanted to ask you, really, whenever you're supporting people who have someone important to them who's dying, do you have any useful tips for them, how they might deal with those difficult emotions that they may be facing at that time?
Yeah, that's a really difficult one, and it's one thing that everybody shares. I would say the first thing to remember is whatever you're feeling is normal. It's normal for you. It's probably normal for many, many other people out there. You might be feeling a wide range of emotions. You might be stuck on just one or two feelings. You might be feeling something without any warning or any reason. You may be feeling overwhelmed or scared with what you're feeling or how you're feeling it. Or indeed, you might be feeling, I'm getting on okay. I feel okay. And some people worry that that's not normal, but whatever you're feeling is okay, it's normal. One of the things that people often talk to me about is that they feel that they're going mad. They feel that they're really losing it. And even though that might be a really genuine feeling because it's scary what they're going through, it's normal. Again, you're not going mad. It may feel like it, but you're not. And you will get through that feeling, because feelings, people think of them like clouds or the tide, you know, they change all the time. So just like the feelings come and go, sort of the clouds and the tide. So I often suggest to people, if you can try to go with the feelings, we're so used to fighting against feelings and trying to set things right. And that is basically a pointless battle, because we can't control our thoughts and feelings sometimes. Most times, to be fair, for our feelings, it's like King Canute, if you remember back in the day, King Canute standing in the tide, trying to stop the waves from coming in. It has no effect on the waves whatsoever. So what we need to do is try to accept that we can't change a lot of things that are going on. Similarly, we can't change those feelings. So stop fighting against them and try to roll with it. If you think about it, you know, if you're a sailor on the sea, all you can do is deal with the boat. You can't control the waves. So sometimes it does help when you're trying to go with those feelings, that roller coaster of emotions that's changing every couple of minutes sometimes for some people, just be aware that you don't know what's coming next. If you're going through a particularly difficult time, it will eventually pass. Maybe not as fast as you'd like, of course, but it will, it'll pass. And while you're waiting for that to pass, sometimes it does help, if you can, to think about what emotion or emotions that you're feeling at that time, because it helps acknowledge what it is. So if you can say to yourself or think to yourself, I feel so angry right now, I feel scared, I feel confused, I feel angry and upset, try and give it a name. It helps you know what you're dealing with. And then try to remember, but that will change. It will pass. It might come back, of course, but that's the reality of it, because you can't ignore all those feelings. You can't push them away, because they'll just come back stronger and stronger. So you have to give them space. You have to go through that difficult time. And it, you know, there's only one way through the tough times, and it is through them. You can't go around them or over them. You know, you'll push them to the side for a wee while, but then they can come back again. So give them a minute, acknowledge that they're there. I'm feeling scared, I'm feeling angry, I'm feeling confused, whatever it is, and try to remember that it will pass, and just go with the flow at that time. Easier said than done, I appreciate, but give it a go. You've nothing to lose and everything to gain. Just that understanding, that acceptance that things are going to be all over the place, and that is normal, because you're preparing for something massive potentially in your life. So keep trying to think about that is one of the tips that I would have, Claire. And then when you know what you're feeling, when you've given it a name, you might be in a better position to deal with it if you can. Now, don't feel under pressure to always deal with things. Sometimes you just need to sit with it and wallow in it, if you like, at times. But think about it, you know, talk about it to someone, how you're feeling. Write it down, like punch a pillow, do whatever it is you think that might help you deal with that emotion right now. And I mean, talking is brilliant if you can, but, you know, write a journal, write a diary, to keep a blog or a vlog, whatever it is that you think might help you get to grips with those feelings, try to understand them a bit more, and you know, deal with them a little bit. But do really try not to feel bad if you can't do anything about them right now. You know, don't put extra pressure on yourself, or indeed let anybody else tell you that you should be strong and deal with these things. You are doing the best that you can to get through that moment, and that's, you can do no more than that. So give yourself that pat on the back. Treat yourself with the same compassion that you would give your best friend. And be kind to yourself. You're dealing with it as best as you can at that time. And if you do need to have some time just wallowing in the sadness or the misery or the fear, whatever it is that you're needing to do that. But also then know when it's time to push yourself out of that comfort zone and make that effort to drag yourself away from it, or step off to the side for a while to give yourself a break from that too. And, you know, if you can do that, you're doing really, really well. But don't feel bad if you're not performing the way that you expect to, or other people might expect you to. So just, you're just doing your best. That's all you can do. And on that note, it's good to remember, of course, that there are healthy and unhealthy ways of coping with things, with emotions that you're feeling in this preparation for somebody that's so important to you, who is getting more ill and who is dying. You can cope with it the way that you normally cope with things. Sometimes you surprise yourself by how you expected you would cope with things like this, that you're doing better or not as good as you thought you would. But have a wee think about how you normally deal with tough times in your life. And, you know, are you somebody that likes to know all the details and plan ahead? Or are you somebody that buries your head, just focuses on the here and now and tries not to worry about too much about the future? Or do you think that you're finding yourself slipping into the unhelpful ways of coping, like food and alcohol, withdrawing, some of those more negative, less healthy things? Now, it's okay to have moments, obviously, but if you find yourself slipping more and more into those unhelpful ways of coping, see if you can think of something more healthy and positive and helpful that is going to make it better, a wee bit better for you. So do try that. Try and think about what your way of coping is normally. And that might be the way that you're dealing with this, or you might find yourself dealing with it in an entirely different way. If it's working for you, go for it. If it's a healthy way of coping, keep going. Try to reduce the unhealthy ways of coping as best as you can. But, you know, everybody needs extra chocolate at a time, or everybody needs, you know, a wee duvet day, or whatever it takes. But just try to keep it more healthy if you can. You're getting through something really tough, so give yourself a wee bit of slack. What you're trying to do is to avoid feeling overwhelmed. So whatever that takes, if it helps you to get through 1 minute at a time, aim for 1 minute. If it helps you to get through 5 minutes or an hour or half a day or a day, whatever breaks it down for you to deal with those feelings, which can feel overwhelming. But just a reminder that it's okay to feel overwhelmed at times, because these feelings are overwhelming. It's about gaining your balance when you can. And I hope that helps a wee bit to help negotiate all those feelings that, you know, you're facing. But the full range is totally normal, okay, and healthy to be feeling.
Thanks, Amanda. That's really helpful. And I think in Cruise, we always talk about the importance of self-care and maybe some of the more useful positive ways of coping with some of the difficult emotions would be to follow some of the tips we always say to people, like get some regular exercise, keep a routine, something that keeps you in check every day. And also keep connected to the people you love. There's other people out with the person who's experiencing the illness, and they are there to support you, and being able to keep connected will really help you in your journey. Just, do you have anything, Amanda, in your own experience, like three top things that you would suggest to people to focus on? What would those three things be for you?
Excellent. That's a great question, Claire. There are so many, but I would say probably my top three. The first one would always be good communication. Good communication is hard to beat. Second one, I can talk to you about think practically as well. Try to move from the feelings sometimes and think practically. And then the third one that we can talk about is, like, say yes to support when you need it. Definitely get a good team around you, but also say no when you need to. So good communication, think practically, say yes to teamwork, and know when it helps you. So good communication, let's have a wee chat about that. People worry about upsetting the people that they love, and so many opportunities are missed. So many wonderful chances to have a good, useful, possibly emotional, but deep and meaningful conversation, or it can be light, but really valuable talk. Because these opportunities, when they're missed, the last thing that you want is to have regrets. Sometimes we always find a way of finding something to regret, because we can torture ourselves a little bit like that, being human beings. But try to seize the moment when you can and take that opportunity for good quality conversations or chats. People skirt around each other in my experience and work. The person that is ill and dying worries about their loved ones. The loved ones worry about the person that's ill and dying. And when I chat to them about that and try and explore what's going on, often it's because they don't want to hurt each other. They don't want to share that upset, that those feelings that we were talking about. But yet they're sharing them with me, you know, a stranger or a new person in their life. So part of our job would be to encourage people to communicate and chat. It doesn't have to be anything highfalutin. It's literally having a chat. Sometimes so much is said by just a few sentences, and then you're there together sharing the experience. And when things are going so badly wrong like this in your world, what better than to share it with the people that you love rather than always trying to put on the brave face? I appreciate that's a good coping mechanism at times, and we all do it. So yes, there's times and places for that where it's very, very appropriate for you. It gets you, keeps you going. But there's other times when you really need to like drop that mask and share a little or all of it with the people that are important to you. To let them know that this is really devastating news, or that they're so upset, or they're so scared, or they're so angry, but you're in it together and you're supporting each other through. And it really does take that pressure off to put on the brave face. The energy that takes is truly phenomenal. And I would rather that my loved ones were sharing their feelings with me than feeling that they couldn't. But sometimes it just takes that wee start. You know, you don't have to talk about deep and meaningful things all the time or emotional things all the time, but it's really good. Even say the things that you need to say or you want to say, and then get on with living your life together and making use of that time that you've got. But it's really at the core of everything. Good communication with each other, good communication with the team of people around you, those health and social care professionals that are supporting you, with the organisations, the voluntary side of things. You know, it's really, really good to talk things through, and it helps clarify where you're at, what you need to know, what you want to know, what you don't want to know, how to deal with things ahead. So don't waste those opportunities. So please, top of the top three is try and focus on good communication, even if it's a thing that is a challenge. Not all families get on, I can assure you. And ill health and serious sickness and somebody dying in the family sometimes tears even the closest families apart a bit, because everybody's stressed, everybody's pressurized. And sometimes people just don't get on at the best of times. So again, try to avoid any regrets. Make the best use of this time to communicate what you need to, what you want to, what you have to. So that's one less thing to worry about. So the second one then would be about thinking practically. You know, what information might you need to know if roles are going to change in the future? If the person that you love that is dying, who normally deals with X, Y, and Z in your family or your business or your social life or whatever, what do they need to train you up on? What do they need to show you? What do they need to tell you about? That can help the person who is ill and dying to keep control of some aspects of their life, of which most is out of control. So it can help them a great deal to know that you, as a loved one, family, friend, relative, whatever, are actually going to be okay, because this is one less practical thing for you to be dealing with on top of the feelings of a bereavement. So a lot of people can actually die knowing that you're going to be able to manage those practical things. And it is a great blessing for many people to know that. Think of the practical things that are relevant to you. Everybody's so different, but you know, what would you need to share? Or what would you need to share if you weren't going to be there for your loved ones? You know, what is the password for the laptop or the household accounts? Where do you keep your important documents? How do they get into those if they're not in the filing cabinet? Where are the keys kept? All those sorts of things that are really important that you can deal with now while you can, put them aside then and get on with life and living. But there are practical, lots of practical things that would be relevant to many people. There's a thing called advanced care planning that we talk about quite a lot in health and social care. And it's things like planning ahead for funerals. What are your wishes? Do you have any specific wishes? If you don't, you don't mind. Let people know that. So they're not worrying about what would he or she want? What would she have wanted in this tricky position? Because not everything is straightforward with some families. So give your family and friends some guidance for you. And in the meantime, find out about your loved one. What is important to them? So funeral planning is one thing. Where would they like to be cared for? How would they like to be cared for? Is there anything that they would like, what they wouldn't like in terms of treatment and care? There's no guarantee that health and social care professionals can fulfill that, of course, but it will really help guide their care and support for your loved one if they're at home, if they have to go into hospital, if they have to go to a nursing home, if they have to go to a hospice. So all those things are really handy. What are your wishes? It could be something simple like, I would love to be at home for as long as I can. I would love to have my music playing in the background. I would love to be wearing lipstick. I would love to have the dog or the children or whatever around me. So all those little things that can be done, but would make a big difference. You know, I love the smell of flowers in the room, or, you know, those simple things which make such a big difference that we see day in, day out in our work role here. Other things like the practicalities for like a will, like enduring power of attorney in case you don't have the capacity to make those decisions about your financial affairs or your property. Those sorts of things can be dealt with as well. And then set aside and then focus on life and living. And it takes such a big pressure off you as a family member, friend, and also the person that you love that is dying. It can really, really give many, many people peace of mind, and helps everybody a great deal. So think practically, what would you need to know for now and for the future that will help you and give that loved one peace of mind? So that's the second tip. So the final one then, it was say yes to support when you need it from a team, get a good team around you, but also remember to say no for things as well. So set your ground rules. Your priorities, I imagine, have changed. You know, the important things in your life now may possibly be different from the stuff that you worried about, focused on and stressed about in the past. So how do we think about what is important to you? And your goal now is to try and achieve as many of those important things on your day-to-day life. Doesn't have to be anything highfalutin. It's just about focusing on the important bits. So let people know what you need from them. Think about the people in your circle. Sometimes close friends are proof that they are the best people around you. Sometimes the friends that you think are close actually aren't the ones that you need right now, or they can't do what you need of them. And other people that you maybe haven't thought about actually might come up as better support for you at this current time or in the future. So have a think about the people around you. And as Claire rightly pointed out, it's about having that team of people that are good for you. So, you know, in life, there are radiators and there are drains. People that radiate warmth and encouragement and support and acceptance, no matter, even if you're behaving badly, they don't care. They know you're going through a tough time. So they're radiating warmth to you. And I'm sure there are some drains that you might know of as well, who just suck the energy out of you at times. And, you know, you feel weak after you've spent time in their presence, because they're needing too much of you. that you can't give at the best of times. So you need people that are going to be supportive, encouraging and warm around you. Keep the drains at a distance. They're not going to drain any more energy out of you. If it helps, give them a wee job that they can do that keeps them happy and gives you something as well. But focus on a good supportive team around you and set your ground rules then for them. So a lot of people don't know how to behave. They don't know what you need, what you want, whether they're going to offend you by offering stuff or not offering stuff or what's going to be useful. So they'll probably ask, and people will often say, let me know if I can do anything, which maybe is too vague, but you know the intent is there. So let people know what you need from them right now. Or if they offer you something and you can say, well, no, I don't want that. That's not going to be helpful to me now. But would you mind taking the dog for a longer walk every night? Or would you mind bringing out my bins? Or would you mind cooking me the odd thing from a freezer? You know, if there's something that you would find practical and useful, when you can, you know, ask somebody to help you with that. We all rely on other people. So, you know, they want to help you. So let them know how they can, and let people know that your ground rules or what you need from them can change. But you'll keep them posted on what you need for them, or you can ask somebody else to do that on your behalf. So delegate who can do what for you. I think the hardest thing you have to do is think about what you need, and then maybe how can you get this. So that itself can be quite tough at times. But, you know, for example, if you're being inundated with well-meaning people asking, maybe ringing to see how things are going, think about an answering machine if it's too much. You know, screen your calls or take messages so you or indeed somebody else can then deal with them at a better time, or leave a message on the answering machine to say, thanks so much for your call, I'll get back to you when I can. Things are going okay, or things aren't so good, or, you know, think of a way of controlling what you can control, and take some of that pressure off yourself, you know. But it is handy to organize somebody that's a contact person, or somebody that can update others and pass on information and messages on your behalf. But I think half the battle really is working out, what is it that I really need? What would help me right now? But think about that, and don't feel bad about saying no, because if you're saying yes to things that's only going to cause you annoyance or stress, nobody who's your friend would want that for you. So it's okay to say no. And if people are a bit surprised or taken aback, just explain to them, listen, I have to deal with this and look after my energy here, look after myself or my loved one. So I'm going to be saying no when I need to. Don't be offended. It's not what I need right now, but I will ask you for help as well. So it means that they're getting to support you, and you're getting a bit of support and less annoyance about people's offers. So there you are, good communication. Think practically and get a good team around you, and say yes to support and no when you need to as well. I hope that helps, Claire.
That's fantastic, Amanda. Thanks very much. I think we're all guilty of saying I'm fine and not accepting that help and support. And if any time you need support, this is it. Whenever you're going through the challenge of losing somebody that's important to you, I think this is the time you need to refocus and ask for that support and talk openly with anybody that's there offering you help. Thank you very much. Is there anything else based on your work that you would suggest to people that they could do during this time for themselves and their families?
Yeah, it sort of ties in some of the other things we've talked about, Claire, but absolutely, I would encourage people to do their best to focus on today. Focus on living, and, you know, try not to let this precious time be wasted. It's easier said than done at times. But it is precious time. You can't get it back, and you don't want to regret things that you wish that you had spent less time worrying about what had gone on before or what's coming in the future. It's good to plan ahead, but not exclusively, so that you miss out on what's happening right now and on life that is still there. So focus on the time that you still have together, and It doesn't have to be anything elaborate or challenging. It can be the simple, quiet time in each other's company, literally sitting together in a room, listening to music, watching TV together, just being, just spending time in each other's company, or talking about important or interesting things, talking about nonsense, sharing a joke, having a good gossip, whatever it is that you would enjoy. But don't be so busy doing things or worrying about things in the past and the future that you can't control that you miss out in this time, because you can't get it back. And people often regret the things that they didn't do rather than the things that they did. So, you know, time, wasting time isn't wasted time, if you know what I mean. It's just enjoying the moment as well as best as you can. But try and be creative as well. You know, think about what you can do that's enjoyable or special. You don't have to be doing anything grand or something that takes lots of energy or money. My goodness, we've been having lots of practice at that with the way things have been going with the experiences of limitations in our life that we've taken for granted. So we can be creative, something so simple. Going over photographs, enjoying just quality time, chatting through the good old days. But be creative about what does it for you, because everybody's so different, everybody's so individual. What I might enjoy, you mightn't enjoy. So dig a little and see what the person would like, and see what you would like doing together as well with you and other family and friends in your circle. But it's all about making good use of this time. And it is, dying is one part of life, but life is the main show, really. So try to make good use of it and make some memories that you'll have forever, that the person that is dying is going to enjoy their life. And the people that they're leaving behind will have those special times forever and ever. And some people get great enjoyment and comfort out of the wee things, like labeling old photos with memories or putting together some special bits and pieces like keepsakes or, you know, reminders of good time and good times together. And people can put those together in like an old shoebox or something fancier. You can decorate it so it's personal. You can get a big envelope. It doesn't have to be a box. It's a brilliant way of having stuff for the future. It can become a memory box that you and your family will always, always have. And it's brilliant for passing on those memories to children or grandchildren, great grandchildren, even those that aren't here yet. You know, it's a great thing to have and look through anytime you're wanting to dig out those memories or have them sitting there as a constant wee reminder. You know, they're great for children, but they're super for adults as well, any age. Just when you need a moment to look at those keepsakes, or, you know, to sniff that bottle of perfume or aftershave or what bar of soap that you associate with that person. Things that have been slipped into it that gives you that wee trigger to remind you of those good times. Listening to a recording of stories, of songs being shared, of things like that that you can put together. It's a really lovely way to make good use of today and have it forever. It's a great thing to do together with the person who's dying, if they're up for it, or as a family, because, you know, sometimes it can be an emotional thing, but, you know, you're sharing it together. It's that whole communication and letting the guard down, have a cry together, have a laugh together, have a hug, and create something really lovely, really special. Enjoy the good times along with being there through the tough times. That's what life and relationships and friendships are all about. It's such a special thing. And especially if you're making something precious that can give you so much peace and comfort and freshen those memories that you have and add to the memories that other people have of the person that you love that is dying. And of course, you can make those sorts of things. You can do memory boxes or envelopes or whatever you want to do at any time. It could be one special item, as long as it's something that makes sense for you And that gives you that wee bit of comfort. And yes, you might have a tear, or indeed a full-on sob when you're going through your things, but it does offer that wee bit of comfort and support as well. And that's what really this time is all about. Focus on today, but plan ahead a little bit for the future, to help get you through those tough times when they come.
Thank you so much, Amanda. It's really useful for people to think outside the box sometimes for how to cope best for them and think creatively, and especially having those memories to look back on, I know is a real reassurance for some people that have experienced bereavement. That's really us for today. So that's super. If anybody who's been listening would like any further support, feel free to visit the Cruise website on www.cruise.org.uk, or Macmillan has some pages on supporting someone at the near the end of life. So visit Macmillan on macmillan.org.uk as well. Thank you again for listening.